Thank you for being here with us this morning. We want to wish a happy Mother's Day to our mothers. We'll say more about that in just a moment, but want to welcome those who are there with us on our live stream, whether you're on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. Be sure to heart, to like, to share, follow us, subscribe, do all those things, click the notification bell, and that way that'll just help to get the word out even more. Make some comments there, and that'll send it out even further with all their algorithms. And also welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming service. If you know someone who needs that, who doesn't have the computer to be able to listen to our service through the telephone, it will automatically call them, just like our social media streams go live. That goes live to all those who have their phone number listed with that. We'll be glad to put their number on it. We'll be glad to give that number to you for them to call in, to push the button to tell it to call them. So let us know that after the service, or you can call the church office this week. If you have access at home, though, to the church website, encourage you to go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. Under the info tab, you can download the worship bulletin there for today, as well as the children's worship bulletins. We have one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. They're in the windowsill to my right. The bulletins are at the door as you came in, so be sure to get one of those. And then also under that info tab, you can download the prayer list there. And those are in the holder, the magazine racks here outside the office on the tables there. So be sure to grab one of those. We do want to recognize our mothers this morning, and we're going to do that in a little bit when we do our missions time. And we've got a special gift that we're going to give to you. We'll say more about that also. But just wanted to welcome those of you, especially if you're a first-time guest. We want to be sure that you pick up one of our guest bags at the sides of the stage or at the doors as you leave today. It's got some information about our church, about our services, so I want to encourage you to grab that. And then it's also got some gifts in it that we want to give to you to just say thank you for being here with us this morning. So Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good morning, all. I know some of you just sat down, but let's all stand and praise the Lord, singing 416, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. With the choir. Pat?
You'll notice in your bulletins, this is our missionary moment of the week for Leslie and Luke Montgomery. I want to encourage you to take the time to read their story, but God is doing an awesome work in their hearts and in their lives as they are being used by God to reach the sub-Saharan African peoples. And so pray for them as a family as they disciple university students who seek purpose and identity in Jesus Christ. And we also want to recognize our mothers and to say a special prayer this morning for our mother. So if you're here this morning and you're a mother, would you please stand for just a moment? Let's give them all a hand, and if you'll remain standing. Let's go to the Lord, and we're going to pray for our mothers as you're sitting there, and you see those who are standing, if you would pray for those moms who are gathered around you there. Lord, we just want to pray and ask that you would bless every mother here with the greatest of your spiritual blessings. Lord, confirm in their hearts and their spirit, Lord, the work that you have placed upon their hands, the love that they have freely given to their children throughout the years. And Father, we pray that you would just continue to validate their worth daily so that they have no reason to doubt whether they are loved or valued or cherished in the eyes of you, our Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that you would create in them a deep sense of your protection and your trust so that when times of worry and fear come, that will disappear as they place their loved ones into your care. So Lord, let them know that every prayer that they've ever prayed, every encouraging word that they've ever spoken on behalf of their children has been transformed into a sweet, fragrant offering before your throne. Lord, we pray that you would whisper into their heart and their spirit the sweetest words, that there is nothing that can separate them from your love in Christ Jesus. Lord, give them rest in their hearts daily. Help them to stand by faith on the things that you have shown them in their word. And Lord, we pray that you would let them know the reward of their faithfulness. Lord, help them to rest in that knowledge that they have done all that they can in raising us as their children, and that they and those that they love truly belong to you. And so we ask, Lord, that you would bless them with a servant spirit so that they can teach their children to hear one day that joyful word, well done. Lord, remove any guilt from their lives and their hearts, any false or real expectations there, and replace all of that with your amazing grace and your forgiveness. Lord, teach them that they can't meet every need of their children's life, but you can. And so, Lord, I pray that they would entrust their children to you. Lord, give them wisdom. Give them guidance to train their children in your paths. And, Lord, may you have your hand upon them. Lord, we pray for you to help them to continue to do what they've always done, to love without limitations, to pray without ceasing, and to live their lives without regret. Lord, where prayers may have seemed unanswered and dreams are not maybe yet realized, Lord, open their eyes to see beyond this world to a hope that never disappoints, to a Father who will never leave or abandon them. And Father, we pray that you would encourage them to persevere even in the midst of the most difficult moments. Bless them, Lord, with honesty. Bless them with integrity. And Father, we just pray that you would help them to have an unswerving desire in their hearts to know you. Lord, may their joy be contagious. And Lord, we pray that their passion would be pure. Lord, let their life overflow with all the blessings that these mothers deserve on this special day and on every day of their lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You be seated. Thank you so much, mothers. We do have a gift for you this morning. We've got a gift from Water's Edge. This is milk chocolate, this is dark chocolate, and this is white chocolate, and it's one of their, what do they call it, ooey gooey things. So those will be at the doors. We have some youth who will be standing inside the door back here as well as inside the doors here. So make sure you get one of those as you leave. It's just one of those things we want to give to you to say how much we appreciate you. I also want to remind you, you can do your giving with the envelopes that are in front of you in the pews. You can do it online there. Also, just go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com, go to the far right-hand side and click that Give Online tab. You can do your regular offering there. You can do any of the special offerings that we have. So I encourage you to do that. Don't forget, we're still putting blue cards on the cross. We have some that we still need to get on this coming week. If you've not given us one of those yet, of individuals that you want to pray for who may not know Christ as our Lord and Savior, just write their name on the white side. The blue part is perforated there, so just tear it off, place it in an offering plate, and we'll get that on the cross over here. You keep that bottom portion there for the prayer guide there. You can use that as a bookmark in your Bible to be praying for that individual. And then we're also making white cards with those individuals' names on them that others can pray for. So be sure to pick up some of those down here at the front this morning and spend that time of that 30 days in prayer. Don't forget the Bible app that we have also. All you have to do is go on the Google Play Store or the App Store on Apple and search there for the YouVersion Bible app. When you do, just tap on it. Once you've downloaded it, tap the Discover button. You'll find our church. Search for our church. It's one of the few churches on the Bible app there. And then tap Set as My Church. When you do that, you'll find the Bible reading plan, the 21-day Bible reading plan through the book of Ephesians that we've encouraged people to go through. Some of you finished that already, and we appreciate that, and thank you so much for doing that. And so just want to encourage you, if you haven't yet done that, we will be putting a new one up once we come closer here to the end of May. And then also, don't forget, we've been promoting this the last couple of weeks. We've started a new Facebook group that is just for members and attenders. If you're interested in getting more information or being reminded of things like who the greeters are, who are the deacon of the week, who are serving in different positions, what are some of the things that are going on, scan this QR code with your phone. Just open your phone to the photo, to your photo app there. Open your camera, scan it, and it'll allow it to take you to that Facebook group. You ask there or tell it there you want to become a member of the group, and then we'll approve that for you later today. So just want to encourage you to take the time to do that. If you don't get that done by what's on the screen there and can't get your phone to do that from where you're sitting, see me after the service. I've got the QR code right here that you can take the time to do that with too. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for those who've already done that. Brother Mike?
As Brother Jim mentioned in part of his prayer, that as Christ's children, nothing can separate us from his love. That is a blessed assurance. Our next hymn is 334, and I ask you to, you can sit on this one, but join us as we sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Spirit.
Children's Church will be gathering over here by the piano during this next song. And our next hymn is 337. And we're doing all four verses, and I want the choir to know that. Don't go down on the second verse. Go down on after the third verse. Okay? Y'all stand and join us as we sing, "I Know Whom I Have Believed." Ms. Pat.
And take your Bibles, if you will, and turn those to Ephesians chapter 1 through verse 13, or chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 13. I've entitled my message this morning, "It Is No Secret." And you're going to understand that through this passage, exactly what that means and how that applies to today. We've been going through the book of Ephesians for several weeks now. We've still got several more weeks to go through this wonderful book. It has been power-packed in all the verses that we've looked at thus far. And as we come to this passage this morning, it's no different. There are a lot of things that we don't understand in this world or in the next. There's a lot of things we don't understand even about God, and we're going to talk about some of those here in just a moment. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 down through verse 13. If you would, let's stand and read God's word in honor of his word. "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your word this morning. Father, we thank you for the message and song that has prepared our hearts. Lord, we know in whom we have believed, even though there are things that we may not know. Father, I pray that you would help us to remain faithful in our walk with you. Lord, we especially thank you for the faithfulness of our mothers. And we pray, Lord, that we would follow the example of those faithful, godly mothers. Father, we just pray for your hand to be upon us through this passage. Speak to us. May your Spirit be present, that when we leave this place this morning, Lord, we would know we've been in the presence of the Lord. We pray for those who may not know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. May they hear the gospel message in this passage too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, there are many things that are in life that are mysteries, things that we'll never know the answer to. One of those is, why does the dentist talk to you when you can't respond to him? Why do people say heads up when you really should be ducking? Here's one: why doesn't glue stick inside the bottle? You know, those are mysteries. There are some things also that maybe not just that we don't know in the world, but some things we don't know about God that are in that category of mystery. We just sang this song, I Know Whom I Have Believed. And if you'll remember in the first part of each one of those verses, it begins in verse 1 and says, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known. A second thing he says is, I know not how the saving faith to me he did impart. Thirdly, he said, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin. And then the fourth verse said, I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair. You know, there are some things that we don't know about God. There's a verse, though, in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament in particular, that can help you when you're faced with mysteries, with unknown things of life and things of God, things that we think of too. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? There's a verse that when you face those times that can give you some encouragement, some comfort when you're in the presence of those mysteries when we don't always understand. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Here's what it says. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What the writer there in Deuteronomy is saying, what Moses is saying, he's saying that there are some things that are the secret things of God, and they belong to the Lord. And then there are some things about God that God has chosen to reveal to us so that we might do the works and the word of his law, that we might obey them, that we might do what God wants us to do. Well, when Paul is writing here in Ephesians chapter 3, that's what he's writing about. He's writing about here and talking about a mystery. And I want you to see what this mystery is that no longer is a mystery because he's revealed to it. It's no longer a secret. I want you to see the revelation of the mystery first in verses 1 down to verse 6. Now, you're going to notice in these verses, and anytime we've said this before when you're studying the scripture and there's a word that's repeated, highlight it, underline it. It's important because he wants you to get it. In this chapter, in these first first 9 verses here, he uses this word mystery 3 times. Notice what he says in verse 3. He says, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. And then again in verse 4, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. And then you go down to verse 9, and he says, to bring light for everyone, what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. You know, when we see that word mystery, it brings all kinds of things to our minds. When we use that word mystery today, we think in terms of something that's puzzling, something that's obscure, something that's difficult for us to know. Or sometimes when we use that word in terms of a mystery novel, we call them whodunits. And so often when we come to those kind of books and those kind of stories, all too often we want to turn to the end to find out who done it. But when you read this word mystery in the New Testament, it means something else here. Here's what Paul does with this word mystery. I want you to get the context of where he's pulling this word mystery from. There was in the day of Paul a movement known as the mystery religions. The mystery religions had what they called mysteries. Nobody could know these mysteries except those who had been initiated into those religions. We see that in some circles even today. And so Paul reaches into those mystery religions and he pulls out one of their own words. Now, Paul was good at taking the enemy's ammunition and turning it against them. And so that word mystery really meant to close the mouth. We might say mum's the word, or that's the root word mystery. It means hush. It's a mystery. Don't tell it. Don't talk about it. Paul took that word mystery and he uses it here in a very special way. So that we find that the word mystery used in the New Testament here, Paul is talking about a truth that people could never have known unless God had revealed it to them. What we see here is he's talking about a truth that man himself could never have discovered by his own reasoning. It could have only been given by revelation from God. In fact, he says that very specifically in verse 3. Notice again verse 3. He says, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. He's saying God is the one who revealed this mystery to me. I didn't come up with these thoughts all myself. And so when you study the writings of Paul, he talks about these mysteries, and you'll find that God did give Paul some unique insight into several of these special truths. God revealed to him, and he tells us specifically how it came about. If you turn to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15 down through verse 17, here's what Paul says in the book of Galatians. He says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born, who would that be? That's God. So he who had set me apart before I was born and who had called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone, he said, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So what is that telling us happened there? You remember after Paul was converted, he went into what we might call a desert seminary experience. He actually went to Arabia, the desert of Arabia. And there he went with the knowledge and the understanding that he had, because remember, Paul was a Pharisee before he came to Christ. So he had all that knowledge of the Old Testament. He understood the writings of Moses. He understood the prophets. And so he took all that with him. And when he comes back with Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians on his heart. And so God revealed specifically to Paul some certain things. That's why he goes on to say in verse 18 of that chapter, then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, who was Peter, and remained with him 15 days. So for 3 years, he doesn't go to meet the other disciples. He has no input from them telling him, here's what you're supposed to believe, here's what you're not supposed to believe. It was God who revealed to him the truths he needed to know. So when he went up to Jerusalem and shared with the apostles what God had revealed to him about the gospel in the desert, you go to Galatians 2 and verse 1 and verse 2, he says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately, before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain. He wanted to make sure what I'm preaching, what I'm teaching to the Gentiles, I'm not leading them astray. So he's saying that when he went to this desert time, God revealed his truth to him. Then he goes to Jerusalem sometime later. He lays it all out before the apostles. They put their stamp of approval on it because God had revealed this mystery to Paul. So when you study the writings of Paul, you find out that there are three primary mysteries that God had revealed to Paul about Jesus. Because remember, Paul wasn't there when Jesus had done all those miracles in Galilee and there in Jerusalem and in all those other places where Jesus had gone. He wasn't there. In fact, at that time, he was against those who were believing in Jesus. And in fact, after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected, he went about persecuting the Christians. And so when God revealed these things to him, he revealed at least these three primary mysteries to him. One was this: God revealed to Paul the mystery of the cross. And you think, for us, we look at it and we think, what's such a mystery about the cross? We know what the cross is. The cross is an instrument of death. It was what Jesus died on for our sins. But that was a truth that man could have never discovered by his own intellect. Because think of this, if a person had been confronted with the situation of being a sinner and God being a holy God, and how do you get an unholy sinner and a holy God together and put them back into fellowship? Not in 10 trillion years could the mind of man have ever come up with the solution that God came up with. God's solution was the cross. In fact, you read in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7 through verse 8, Paul says specifically that God revealed to him the mystery of the cross, what the cross was all about. He said in verse 7, but we impart a secret hidden and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. So he's talking about back in the Old Testament, he had brought the prophecy through the Old Testament prophets. They had some of that knowledge, but he says in verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So it was God who revealed to him the mystery of the cross. A second mystery that God revealed to Paul was the mystery of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 and 52, here's what Paul said about what God revealed to him there. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Somebody said that could be put over to the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You'll get it when you get home. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for the trump will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. He's talking about the coming again of Jesus Christ, and he says that it's a mystery. I mean, think about it. Who would have ever figured out by themselves about the second coming of Jesus Christ? I mean, who could have ever dreamed Jesus was going to come again? But God reveals that truth to Paul. The mystery of Christ, the mystery of the cross, the mystery of Christ and his second coming. And then the third mystery that God revealed to Paul was Christ and his church. So God revealed to Paul the mystery of the church. Now that's really what this third chapter of Ephesians is all about, because actually Paul is sharing with us the truth of what the church is all about. of what God revealed to him was the purpose and the intention of the church. And here's what he says specifically that God gave him the grace to do. Go back to verse 2 in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, he first mentioned he was a prisoner of Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. And then he says, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship or the dispensation of God's grace that was given to me for you. God's grace gave him this ability. Read on down to verse 7. In verse 7, he says, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. Now, he's not talking about saving grace here. He's talking about serving grace. He's saying that God gave him this special grace to do this ministry that he called him to do. And in these verses, Paul wants us to know two things at least. Number one, he wants us to understand the mystery of Christ's church. And then he also wants us to understand the ministry of the church. He wants us to understand the mystery, and so he wants to explain what that's all about. So first of all, about the revelation of this mystery, the fact that God revealed it is given to us there in verse 3, how this mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. Again, we saw down in verse 9, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. He's saying here that this truth about the church that God revealed was something that had been hidden in the heart of God for all eternities. God had a secret. God had a plan. God had a purpose to tell the world how much he loved them. God had a plan to show the world how he could redeem them from their lost, sinful condition. And it was kept in the heart of God. God's good at keeping secrets. You don't believe that? How many of you know when Jesus is coming again? No man knows the day nor the hour. It's a secret in heaven. God knows. God the Father knows. So it's kept in the heart of God. God is good at keeping secrets. It was his plan. It was his purpose. It was hidden God from the beginning of the world. So look at verse 5. So this mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about in the Old Testament. It wasn't made known to the Old Testament people as it has now been revealed by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So he's saying in times past, in the Old Testament times, they didn't know it fully. You read the Old Testament books and you read the prophets and they knew a lot of things. God revealed a lot of things to them. But there was one truth that God had not yet revealed to these Old Testament prophets. It was the truth of the church. That's why when you read the Old Testament, about all you find about the church, it is just through types and pictures, if you will, or a shadow of what was yet to come. The Old Testament prophets, they would get little sketches of truth. They would get little glimmers of truth, a clue here, a clue there, some types and some pictures and kinds of things to come. But they never got that clear picture of the church. It's been described like this, and we've talked about this before when we look back to the Old Testament prophecies, that when a prophet would be standing there to testify, many times he's talking about something that's about to happen in their days, but he also in the same verse sometimes will be talking about something that's to happen way off out there in the future. It's kind of like when you look at a set of mountains and you're looking at the mountains from the ground level. There's mountain range after mountain range, valley in between mountains after another, and we don't see all that. We just see one big glob of mountains. That's the way the prophets would see a lot of those prophecies. They would see it as the one thing. And so it comes across sometimes as it was one prophecy. But when a person is standing back on one mountain, looking to the other mountains because of distance and perspective, as you look at those two mountains, the distance has the tendency to take those two mountains and bring them together so that all you see is two mountains and you don't see the valley that's in between. So think with me for a moment. In the Old Testament, here were two mountains that the Old Testament prophets saw. One of the things they saw was the first coming of Christ. There is prophecy after prophecy after prophecy all throughout the Old Testament about Jesus who was going to be born in Bethlehem in a manger to a virgin. And so that first mountain was the first coming of Christ. And they saw that, and they predicted the coming of Christ. In fact, there were some 330 specific predictions about the coming of Jesus, and every one of those was fulfilled in detail by Jesus Christ in the New Testament in his first coming. The second mountain, though, beyond that, they saw the second coming of Jesus Christ. So sometimes, as we said, they predicted the first coming and the second coming in the same verse. Between the first and second coming of Jesus Christ is what is known as the dispensation or the age of grace, the stewardship of grace that verse 2 is talking about. So in the Old Testament, God dealt with man with what the word dispensation means, with a method of doing something. In the Old Testament, God dealt with man on the basis of law. God said in the Old Testament, do this and live. And when a person tried to do the law, they found out there's nothing I can do. I can't keep the law. Every time I try to keep the law, I break the law. I may build up some good things that I do. There's a lot of people even today who think that if I do enough good things, somehow that will stack things up to get me to heaven. And none of that will ever get you to heaven because one sin, all of it comes crumbling down. Christ died on the cross for your sins, and that's what the New Testament tells us. It's already been done for you. You're saved not by keeping the law. You're saved by what? Grace. You're saved by grace. And we are living in that day of grace, the stewardship, the age of grace. But this is not only the age of grace, it is also the age of the church. We're living in the time of the New Testament church. But they didn't see the church as we see it today. He says in verse 5 that in other ages it was not known to the sons of men. In fact, before the day of Pentecost, you remember the disciples and the apostles, they didn't understand fully the message of the church. But now, after Pentecost, they knew there was going to be a church. Because remember what Jesus had said? Jesus had said, on this rock I will build my what? Church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that when Jesus also said that when a brother sins against you and you try to reconcile the matter and he won't do it if all else fails, he said, take it to the church. But that's about all they knew before the day of Pentecost. So the apostles and the disciples there, they knew there was going to be a church. They knew that there was going to be a universal church made up of born-again believers. They knew there was going to be a local church, a local visible manifestation where God's people are gathered together. But there was something about the church they didn't know that yet had to be revealed. It was a mystery. A truth that even the disciples of Jesus didn't get until the day of Pentecost. That's why it says at the remainder of verse 5 that it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And so on the day of Pentecost, an absolute miracle occurred. All of a sudden, because think about it, there was no church before the day of Pentecost. At the day of Pentecost, there was no church, and then all of a sudden, poof, there's the church. One moment there's not, the next moment there is. God supernaturally intervened, and the church began to flow into human history. God just put the church on earth at that point, at that time. And he's revealed that the body of Christ is his church. Look back at Ephesians chapter 1. We've already studied this before, but it's referencing here to this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So here's the mystery. What is the mystery? We want to know what the mystery is. Go to verse 6. He tells us the mystery. He says, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What he's saying here is that the church is his body. The body is his church. He's talking about all born-again believers. He said that God has revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit that this very special truth about the body, that they were special people. Those apostles, those prophets had done their foundational work. God revealed to them what the mysteries were that were foundational in nature. And when they wrote the New Testament to tell us that, God revealed to them that mystery, that we are all part of the same body of Christ, whether you're Jew or Gentile, if you've trusted by faith in Jesus and him alone. So notice the explanation of the mystery. That's what we want to get to here in verse 6 down through verse 9. Here, he's going to explain more about what this mystery is. So follow through from verse 3 to verse 6. Go back to verse 3 through verse 6, and we'll just read on through here. So verse 3, he said, "How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." So in verse 3, then in verse 5, and then in verse 6, notice there he continued to use that word mystery there. And then he says this in verse 7. He says, "Of this gospel I was made minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power." So what the Jews believed, the Jews finally had come to the place where they believed the Gentiles, and Gentiles was anybody who wasn't a Jew, were going to be saved, but they were going to be like second-class citizens. The New Testament Jew believed that a Gentile could be saved, but if he does become saved, he's going to be down on the second level because we had it first. He won't be up here with us in the church. Jews will be up here. Gentiles will be down here. But God whispers a secret to them through Paul. That secret was that in the body of Christ, made up of all born-again believers, when Gentiles get saved, they become fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel. In other words, it doesn't matter what color you are, red or yellow, black or green, whatever the color is that you are, doesn't matter what social status you are, doesn't matter what country you come from or what country you immigrated from, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're all a part of the body of Christ. When Gentiles get saved, they become fellow heirs, members of that same body. They're on an even level with everybody else in the church. That also applies to those that we may think, well, he did a lot of bad things out there. Maybe it's somebody who did drugs, or maybe someone who was caught up in addiction to alcohol, or someone who maybe even killed someone. And they came to faith in Christ. You say, wait a second, preacher, that's going a little bit far. Well, what about Paul? Paul says, I did that very thing to Christians. I oversaw Christians being killed. He said, I had papers from the magistrates to go and to seek out Christians and to have them executed at my hand. And yet, Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus, and Paul was miraculously saved, and God used him in a great and mighty way in his kingdom work. It doesn't matter who people are or where they are or when they come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. They come into his body, and they are just as much a part of the body of Christ as any one of us sitting in this building. So understand this. You may have been a believer for decades already. You're on the same playing field as somebody who walks down this aisle this morning and gives their heart to Christ. You don't have to be a Jew to be saved. You can be a Gentile and be saved. Anybody who comes to receive Christ as Lord and Savior is born again, and by the Spirit you're baptized into the body of Christ. So that puts a tremendous amount of importance on the church. That's why we can't be casual, if you will, about the church. You know, there are a lot of good parachurch organizations that are out there. They do a lot of good. But God's primary emphasis and activity is in the church. Your support, your attendance, your stewardship ought to be primarily be given in the fellowship of a local church. You can't be a New Testament Christian and ignore the importance and the relevance of the local church for your life as a believer. So there's the revelation of the mystery. There's the explanation of the mystery. But then we get down to the nitty-gritty, the demonstration of the mystery. The demonstration of the mystery. Look at verse 10 down through verse 13. So verse 10 says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. So go back and look at verse 10, what we read there just a moment ago. He says there that the church has been given so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. What in the world is he talking about here? In the heavenly places, he's telling us, and he tells us as we get closer to the end of the book of Ephesians, that there are principalities and powers which are evil in nature and good in nature. There's the demons and the unclean spirits, and there are the angels who are at the service of the Lord. And what we take this reference here to be is he's talking about both here. He's talking about the demons below and the angels above. God says, I'm going to demonstrate this mystery to the angelic beings, both good and bad. Because the Bible says that even the angels are beholding the face of God. Think what the angels have seen in the presence of God. The angels witness the creation of the world. They've seen God create many a sun. They saw God fling stars and planets out into space. Think of all that they have seen. But there's something they don't see about God before his throne. It's found over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10 that says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. So all those Old Testament prophets, they searched, they inquired carefully about what God's word had to say. Because verse 11 said, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. But here verse 12 says this, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in the things that have been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels long to look. So if the angels want to know the manifold wisdom of God, they see it demonstrated in the church. So before the presence of God in his creation, they saw his power. They saw his wonder in the creation. But in the church, they see the wisdom of God in the salvation of a soul. So get the picture here. The angels see God's manifold wisdom. What's that word manifold mean? I'm not talking about a car part here. He's talking about manifold. It means many-colored. It's like a picture of a beautifully colored flowers. It's beautiful symmetry and detail and splendor. It's saying that the wisdom of God is many colored. It is gorgeous. It's even better than the pictures you've seen this week of the Northern Lights. The angels must be saying, wow, every time a soul gets saved. I never dreamed it would be that way. Look what God did there. Think about what they see, because they see a poor lost sinner, someone who's bound for hell. How can that person possibly be saved? And God says, I'll send my son Jesus and let him die on a cross. And if they'll believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they'll get saved. That's the wisdom of God. Here's a sinner. He's lost and undone. How can he be found? And he says he'll come to Christ and be saved. When he was lost, now he's found. He was full of guilt. How can he be a blessing? He's saved now. He turns from guilt to blessing. Here's somebody who is weak, and yet because of salvation, they're made strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the wisdom of God. That's the things that the angels see in the church. So what does the Bible say? There's joy in the presence of who? The angels over one sinner who repents. What a mystery. What a truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." No way in a million years could we ever have dreamed that would be God's plan to redeem us to Himself by sending His Son to die on a cross and be resurrected from the grave. Let me close with this. If I asked you this morning, do you know Stuart Hamblin? Anybody know Stuart Hamblin? You might pause for a few seconds. If I added that he had a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame, placed there in 1978, some of you might begin to put some things together, but he was a radio personality. He was a songwriter. He was a cowboy singer. He was a motion picture actor. Some of you would begin to say, oh, yeah, Carl Stuart Hamblin. Hamblin was born into the family of a traveling Methodist preacher on October the 20th, 1908, in Kellyville, Texas. In later years, after going to Hollywood, he appeared in 10 movies with such stars as Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, John Wayne. He was also a singer and a songwriter with his own radio show. Many of his 225 songs were recorded by scores of artists, not the least of which was Eddie Arnold, Pat Boone, Johnny Cash, and Elvis Presley. His song, "This Old House," was recorded by Rosemary Clooney, was named Song of the Year in 1954, was the number one hit song in 7 countries at the same time. In 1949, when Billy Graham was in Los Angeles having those big evangelist meetings under what they called the Big Tent, Hamblin's wife had persuaded him to attend one of the services. Early the following morning, he asked if he could have a meeting with Billy, and which he graciously agreed to it. And during their conversation, Hamblin surrendered his life to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hamblin tells the story of one of his songs. And here's what he said about one of his songs that you well know. He said, "I wrote this song one night, shortly after midnight." He said, "My wife and I had been visiting one of Hollywood's most famous movie stars. We had gone over to his home just to fill him in on some of the things that had happened in his recent absence. Somehow, the discussion got around to how people can solve problems within themselves." He said, "I remember making a statement such as, 'It's no secret what God can do in a man's life.' About 2 hours later, as we were about to leave the actor's home, he said, 'Stuart, you ought to write a song about 'It's No Secret What God Can Do.' What a beautiful thought that is." He said, "As we walked across the lawn back to our house," he said, "I began to think about it." He said, "When he got back to our house," he said, "I sat down, I walked into the living room, I sat down at the organ, our hall clock began to chime the hour of midnight." He said, "I grabbed a pen and I started writing these words, 'The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through.' On and on it went till the song was finished." He said, "I then turned and I glanced at that clock." He said, "It was only 17 minutes after midnight." He said, "I couldn't believe it. I'd never been able, he said, to write any musical composition in less than 3 or 4 hours. He said, "I thought the clock had stopped." He said, "I then looked and saw the pendulum was still swinging." Hamblin's song has been heard in many small cities, many small towns, many hamlets in America, in the countless places around the world. It's in more than 50 languages, and Stuart's neighbor who made the suggestion about writing the song was none other than John Wayne. Here's what the song says. "The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you?" He said, "You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I have news for you." It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. The truth that Paul is telling us here, it was a mystery, but it's no longer a mystery. It was a secret, but it's no longer a secret. I have a mystery I want to share with you this morning. It's the mystery and the wonder and the truth that right here in this building, if you're lost and you want to be saved, you can be right now. Everything's already been done for you through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a powerful message that Paul is telling us here. The gospel has been revealed. You know what we're to be doing as the body of Christ? We're to be revealing that gospel to the world around us. We're to continue that ministry, that work of reconciliation, of seeing others come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Are you doing that in your life this morning as a believer? Are you living the gospel of Christ that others see Jesus in you? It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He can do for you. He's got His arms wide open, and He will pardon you, because it is no secret what God can do. If you've never trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the day for you to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for the mystery being revealed. Lord, that You have a body, the body of Christ, us as the New Testament church. Lord, You have filled us and given us every spiritual gift that we could ever possibly need, anything that we could ever possibly need to be all that You would have us to be as a New Testament church. And yet so often, Lord, our churches are not what we need to be, because we get in the way. We let self get in the way, and we want to do things we want to do instead of what You would have us to do. So Father, I pray this morning for those who are believers, who've trusted by faith in Christ, Lord, that we would realize this morning that it is no longer a mystery. It has been revealed to us that we are the body of Christ, who are believers in Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we are to go and to make known the mystery of the gospel to the world around us. Lord, there are some who may be here, some who may be watching online, who don't know Christ this morning. And that mystery has been revealed to them, that no matter who they are, no matter where they came from, no matter what their ethnic background is, no matter what their socioeconomic status is, no matter if they come from the lowest rungs or the highest towers, You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for their sin so that they could trust in Him to have eternal life. And so, Father, I pray this morning they would recognize their sin. And Lord, that You would bring them to the place of repentance, crying out to You, God, forgive me of my sin. And Lord, I pray that they would trust in what Christ has done for them, not in themselves, but the grace that we've seen in this mystery of the gospel. Father, I pray that You would shower them with Your grace, and You would send the Holy Spirit into their heart and their life to save them and to set them on the path of righteousness for Your name's sake. Lord, I pray for Your will to be done as they come to profess that faith in Christ this morning. May Your will be done in this invitation, and may we as believers be examples, living examples of the gospel of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 316, Brother Mike, come and lead us if you will. As you stand, will you make your way and come this morning? Can you be seated for just a moment? Brother Steve's going to come and share our announcements. Don't forget, ladies, to get your gifts as you leave today. The youth will be inside the doors here with those trays, so be sure to pick up one of those. And happy Mother's Day again.
Thank you, Jim, for that great message this morning. Welcome, church family and visitors. It's great to see the church so packed. If you are visiting with us, I hope you'll come back and see us soon. Before I get into all the announcements, I think Rima has a short one to give us.
I'd just like to call your attention to the window sills, as well as down here by the organ and our exits. Today, as we kick off the Baby Bottle Campaign for Life Choices, Pregnancy, and Support Center, what better way to celebrate Mother's Day than encouraging new mothers that need it? So today, through Father's Day in the middle part of June, we ask that you take a bottle, that you fill it with change or with bills if you prefer. But the idea is that as we give our change, it will change lives for the better. So please, as you leave today, take a bottle with you. Keep it handy throughout this month and through the middle part of June, and then bring it back, and we'll make sure it gets to Life Choices for the support that they so need. Thank you.
Thank you, Rima. Matt, do you have any particular announcements? Okay. Just a few quick ones. It's in your bulletin, but I'm going to say them again. Reminder that there's no service tonight. Spend the day with your mothers and family. Enjoy yourselves. Just have a good time with each other. Tuesday the 14th is Prime Timers. On the 15th is our CDC graduation. On the 18th is the Kids Camp Car Wash. So come get your cars cleaned and help the kids out as they make a fundraiser for their camp. And then next Sunday on the 19th, we got the graduation service, so please be here for all those graduates. We've got a bridal shower for Brittany Stringfield and a VBS meeting. There's a lot going on, everybody. The month of May is always packed, but it's a great month. Just a few quick updates on some prayer concerns. David Hess, I believe they are trying another procedure or a chemical to help with his cancer treatment. So be in prayer with David and his dad Jim and the whole family. Floyd Doc Prince, that's Myra's dad. He continues to be in the hospital for prayers for him. Jack Doubt, I understand, had a successful knee surgery on Wednesday, and he is home recovering. George Duncan will be having some consultations and surgery in the upcoming week, so let's be in prayer with him. Bill Warren, from understanding, has had some issues and is trying to get in to see Dr. Gupta, so let's be in prayer for him. And then finally, let's be with the Asher Sullivan family in Murfreesboro. Most of you probably heard the situation, but I know there's several people here that know the family or know parts of the family, one of the parents, grandparents. Just be of that family. Prayers are desperately needed, and we know that through God's prayers that miracles can be accomplished. Unless there be any other announcements or... Oh, yes, one other thing. If a few of you could stick around afterwards and help set up some tables and chairs in the fellowship hall for the CDC graduation this week. Won't take a few minutes, but we could use your hand. And now if you'll bow your heads and go to prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just do thank you for the blessings of this day. Father, all the glory we give to you. Father, there's many concerns that we shared with you this morning. Father, you know each and every one of them, and Father, you know the needs that need to be met. We know, Father, that you'll be with each and every one of them to be with the individuals, to lift them up and give the encouragement that they need. And Father, we're just so grateful for our mothers. We're just grateful for all that they've done for us throughout our lives. And Lord, we just lift them up on this day, and we're just so thankful for their part of our lives. Lord, I'm most thankful for sending your Son for our salvation. And Father, it's in his name that we close this with prayer. Father, we just thank you for all that you do. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.